Now it's time for the Long Island Abate Motorcycle Show. Here's your host, Jim Barr.
Hi, I'm Jim Barr, president of Long Island Abate, and I'd like to welcome you to the Long Island Abate Motorcycle Show. Long Island Abate is a 501c3 organization which addresses the needs and concerns of the motorcycle community here on Long Island. Our name, American Bikers for Awareness, Training, and Education, describes the goals and purpose of our organization. Now that the warmer weather is here, there are more motorcycles on the road. We at Long Island Abate are taking a proactive approach to motorcycle safety through awareness, training, and education. May is Motorcycle Awareness Month. We remind all motor vehicle operators to look twice for the presence of motorcyclists on the road. Through bumper stickers, street signs, lawn signs, radio ads, and television commercials, we try to keep this message in the minds of motorists. In the upcoming months, look for our message on public buses, encouraging motorists to count how many motorcycles they notice while driving. The logic behind that is if you're not looking for motorcycles, then you aren't noticing them while you're driving. Therefore, you are more inclined to turn in front of an approaching motorcyclist. However, if you are keeping track of how many you see on the road, you will subconsciously notice every motorcycle when you see it, and therefore be more inclined to allow us to proceed with the right of way before you turn. Long Island Abate presents motorcycle awareness programs to driver education classes, civic and social organizations. We have Long Island Abate members going into high schools to educate young drivers about the importance of being alert to motorcycles on the road. We also have a Long Island Abate member who was a New York State Motorcycle Safety Program instructor, also teaching motorcycle awareness to motorists. Along with awareness and education, we at Long Island Abate encourage motorcyclists to participate in a rider training course. Rider training prepares the motorcyclist to interact with other roadway users by learning and practicing the skills necessary for hazard avoidance and developing a strategy to deal with real-world traffic. Both beginner and advanced rider courses are available. Joining me today to discuss the importance of motorcycle rider training is Steve Sorensen, owner and instructor of Steve's Motorcycle School, and Don Gomo, an MSF rider instructor and the safety editor of American Iron Magazine. Welcome, guys.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for inviting us.
Hi. Steve, let's begin with you. What kind of riders would you suggest should seek training?
Pretty much anybody that plans or is riding a motorcycle now. There's a lot of information that most riders aren't aware of. And a lot of beginners, unfortunately, they'll buy a bike, they'll try learning on their own, or they'll have a friend or somebody try and teach them. And there's a lot of important information and skills that they never really learn on their own. You also have the returning rider, guy that rode when he was younger, got married, settled down, raised a family. Now he's going to go out and enjoy life, buys a motorcycle, and he's not really up to par like his skills used to be. And suggest that anybody really should take the time, invest a few dollars, and get professional training and invest in their future, pretty much is what I think.
So are you suggesting that someone's riding skills deteriorate over time?
Well, anybody, as they get older, their skills are not as sharp or their reflexes. And without knowing some of the really technical ways of managing a motorcycle at speed, could change the entire way your whole day goes as far as riding. A lot of people, they go out and buy chrome, fancy outfits, and that doesn't get you home. There's nothing more important than skill.
I would have to agree with Steve. Experience is not the same as skill. Experience will afford us the benefit of things that we've learned over time, whether we're riding or driving. We'll recognize situations to adjust to or see that it may happen. But if you don't have the skill portion to back up your experience really doesn't do anything for you. So when it comes to education, for riders that have been riding, it's good to get educated. Also, as Steve was saying, you know, age has a factor. We've also had a long winter this year. A lot of riders have been off the road for a long time, so they're starting up again.
Longest winter I can remember.
Yeah, so our skills are not the same as they were, let's say, when we started ending, for some people, at the end of September. We're not that we're starting from scratch, but we've lost some of the mechanical and the mental process, and we've got to refresh ourselves.
I mean, that's natural. I'm not the only one that feels a little different when I come out in the spring?
It should happen to everybody, whether they recognize it or not. That's a different thing.
Okay.
Well, think about all the riders that have their bike put away for the winter. Now it's getting, you know, riding season, weather's starting to come around finally. They take the bike and they go for a spring tune-up. Might as well take themselves and go for a spring tune-up also.
All right, go to a
program, you know, get back into it.
Sure. The cost of a program, whether you go through a state program or an individual school like Steve's, the payoff, even if you learned one thing that you never do before, or they notice that you had one bad habit that you shouldn't be doing, the cost of $100 to $150 or whatever they may charge may save your life. That's worth the money.
Far outweighs the long-range plan of trying to save money by not investing in that.
Right. Let me ask you something. Do you find a lot of people, their egos don't allow them to take lessons? They're afraid of what their peers might think of them if they're going to motorcycle training class?
Egos is a tough thing to conquer, and that's what we have to, as a rider ourselves, recognize that there's always room to learn. The thought process of, I know how to ride, well, if you think like that, you're already assuming some risk. Everybody can learn something. There is no real true professional in motorcycle riding. People are always learning. The professionals out there, instructors, racers, police officers, they're constantly being trained too. You have to let your ego step aside and recognize that you're not going to remove all the risks out there. It's impossible. But anything you can do to minimize the risk of an accident, a mishap, a conflict is a benefit to you.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. My first bike, I was 15 years old. I bought a 1966 Triumph Bonneville chopper. And I was 15 years old. I thought I was
the
coolest guy around. I bought myself a leather jacket. And when I turned 16, I ran down the motor vehicle. I got a permit, passed the permit test. And a lady says to me, congratulations, you just won 20 free hours of classroom at MacArthur Airport. I says, no, thank you. I'm good. She goes, no, you don't understand. She was trying to be smart about the fact that I won these things because I got 100 on the test. But what she was, in her friendly way of trying to say, was, well, now that you have your permit, you must take 20 mandatory hours of classroom before you can apply for the road test. And me thinking that I know everything, even though I never took a curved road in my life when I was 15 years old, I took the paperwork, I ripped it up, I threw it in the garbage. I says, I don't need your permit if that's your ridiculous rules. And if it wasn't for you, about 8 years ago, forcing me to get a motorcycle license, I wouldn't have one to today. But that, you know, I was being very stubborn, and I thought I knew it all, and there's no way I was going to have somebody teach me what I already know.
Right.
Now that I'm 52 years old, now I know I didn't know anything back then. So I'm sure you must run into that quite a bit.
All the time. We have a lot of women come in for lessons. You know, they're riding now with their boyfriends or husbands on the back of the bike, and we'll teach them all the stuff that they need to know. They're still on the back of the guy's bike. They'll come off an exit, and they see the guy struggling trying to get the bike around like a clover leaf curve, and they'll tell him, hey, you know, do this, do that. And, you know, of course, the male ego.
Just what they want to hear.
Yeah, the male ego kicks in, and, you know, don't tell me. What do you think? You're an expert. And the guy will try a little bit, and next thing I know, we're getting a phone call. He's, you know, I want to come in. I want to spend an hour and see what this is all about. And every time when we're done with them, they walk away admitting how much they never knew.
Yeah.
I see that quite often, too, yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, you started at 15. Your reflexes were a lot quicker than somebody in their 40s, 50s. So you had a little bit of advantage because your reflexes were there. As people age, your reflexes are not what they used to be. And, you know, they're getting on these bikes and going out there and playing, and a lot of them are in over their head, and they won't admit it, you know?
My point is that everybody should realize that training is necessary. No matter how old you are, no matter how much experience you have, don't let your ego keep you from going and receiving training. It's
exactly
absolutely necessary.
There's a lot to learn. These classes are similar to what Steve's discussed. I've taught classes where riders have come in that tell me they've had 15, 20, 30 years experience, and they come take a course which is primarily a basic riding skill course, but they're using their own motorcycle, and they struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Who exercises. And I asked them, doesn't this raise a flag to you? We're teaching you how to operate your motorcycle on basic rider skills, and you can't do it. But you've been telling me you've been riding for the past 20 or so years out there. You should be grateful that you're alive to come take this course. And the ego is a tough thing.
Well, they don't realize it's motor riding. They're just going straight down the road.
Yeah, it's awfully hard. And you got to remember, we're on Long Island. congestion with traffic is a big thing here. If we're lucky as motorcyclists, if 10% of the drivers are aware of us, that means there's 90, and that's a big number overall, that aren't paying attention to us. So we have to, sharing the road is a responsibility to both. We expect the motorists to be aware of us, but we should have the responsibility to be the best rider that we can.
So in other words, you teach accident avoidance?
Yes, there are courses and there are exercises that will help you develop the skills to avoid an accident. Obviously, there's no guarantee you'll never get into one, but the best you can do to avoid one is beneficial to you. And taking the course, whether you're going to a state program, an independent school like Steve's, learning that is great. But the key to it is practicing it. You could take a course, and Steve will say the same thing. You could take a course
and
say, I did the course. But if you don't practice those essential skills and have them become second nature, all you may have gained out of that course is a possible insurance reduction. You know, you have to really practice these skills on a regular basis. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better feeling for a rider. You're going down the road, 40, 50 miles an hour, have a car pull out in front of you, have a complete crash that never happened because your skills were there and you avoided it.
Right. Now, and if NHTSA had their way, they would just make sure that you were covered head to toe with protective gear so it doesn't hurt as much when you do crash, as opposed to what you guys do is teach the riders to avoid the crash so it never takes place.
Right. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of studies out there that show how the crash happened. We want to avoid it. We know how it happened. You got to learn how to avoid it. And I understand there's tens of thousands of motorcyclists that have never been educated or ride with no helmets. They ride with shorts. They ride with sandals. And the only thing they die of is old age.
Perhaps they're lucky.
They're lucky. But luck can't cover them all. There might be a percentage. Maybe their mental processing of how they approach the road might be a little bit different than somebody else. Their overall picture might be scary safety-wise, but they may have a mental processing that approaches how they ride safer. Those might be some people to study as well. At this point, we know why accidents happen.
Unfortunately, way too often, it's somebody turning left in front of us, violating our right-of-way in one form or another.
That's the number one. But probably out of 75% of those accidents, if the rider had the skills necessarily, you know, to control the bike, they probably would have avoided that accident.
Yeah, and that's a consistent number that you may see throughout all the state programs. An average number is 50% of the motorcycle accidents happen with another vehicle. A high percentage of them is the left-hand turn in front of our path of travel. But if you flip those numbers, that means 50% of them are single vehicle accidents, no other vehicle, which relates to the riders, they're at fault for that accident. And there are some studies that indicate that of the 50% of accidents involved with another vehicle, half of them, the rider had a partial fault to the outcome. We have to really watch out for ourselves. We're the one that's causing a lot of these accidents for no reason because of lack of education.
Exactly. The other big problem is a lot of group riders go out. They'll have, you know, 5, 6, 10, 15 people all together that are not at equal skills. Before they take off on their ride, nobody lays out a basic game plan. Hand signals, where are we going? You know, 5 guys will know the route, 4 don't. All of a sudden, they're slowing up to make a quick right, and those 4 have no clue.
Yeah.
So kind of like plan ahead. Get a game plan, work out the details. It might take 5 minutes out of your ride, but it can make your ride last days longer.
Right.
All right. Group riding can be technically harder. For somebody that's a new rider, I would not recommend riding with a group. But there's groups, whether they're groups of friends, clubs, organizations, that go out in group rides. And as Steve indicated, you're riding with mixed levels of skill. Sometimes if you're riding with people that you don't even know, you won't know what they're capable of doing or not doing in an emergency situation. So, and there's a lot to involve as far as procedures and the techniques of group riding for spacing, how you approach a turn with a group, how you go through the city with a group, how you ride on urban roads. It's a lot more involved. People have a tendency to think that if I'm riding with a group, I'm safer by numbers. But that's not really true. It could be more dangerous than riding by yourself because of everything that's involved with it. Yes, you're more visible as a group. And in the event of a mishap, an accident or something, you may have somebody there to assist you immediately.
Right.
But other than that, there really are no additional safety benefits to riding with a group. You got to keep that in mind.
That was a good point about different rider skills. No two riders are alike.
Right. Exactly. They're like snowflakes. No snowflake is alike. No two riders is alike.
Somebody in that group is the best, and somebody in that group is the worst.
And so, it's a shame when they mix.
Yeah. Just the other day, I was on my way to Deer Park on the Sagdacos. I got off on Pioneer Drive, I think it was called, and I had no idea what to expect. But as I exited to the right, it was a hairpin right turn.
Pine Lawn Road.
I had no idea that that was coming. Mm-hmm. If I would have had six bikes behind me doing highway speed when I came to that, they would have been a chain pilot reaction of locking up of the brakes. And so that's a good point.
Yeah, it only takes a few minutes. You know, you Google Maps, and as you're searching that out, you might find a good place you want to stop to eat.
Right.
Biggest problem also is riders, they don't pay attention. Traffic signs are there for a reason, not just to give some guy a job to put them up. Yellow signs are very informative. All of a sudden you look up and it's a hairpin turn. If you don't have the skill to make it, there's only one choice you're going to do, and that's crash, unfortunately.
Right, and most area DOTs or county DOTs will install that signage anywhere from 175 feet to 200 feet from the beginning of a radius of a turn or whatever they're indicating on the road. For the speed limit that you're posted to do, there should be sufficient time for you to adjust to make that safely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are riders out there that can bang out through a 35-mile-an-hour turn in a 65-mile-an-hour speed zone, and they're skilled and they can do it very well.
I've seen both of you do it.
And a lot of people can, but then what about the ones that don't? When it comes to single vehicle accidents, the number one thing is running off the road.
Mm-hmm.
You run off the road on a left-hand turn, you're going into the woods, the sidewalk, a billboard, guardrail. Not good options.
Right.
But if you go wide on a right-hand turn, you're going into possible oncoming traffic, which is definitely not a good option. So you really want to pick up on the skills and learn. And as much as we say education, 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 yes, there is a portion of our education when you ride every day. If you're applying, you will be better at it. And that's the key. Educate, practice, ride it, practice it while you're riding. And each time, listen, when I was younger, I was like you. I started riding at 13 years old, was on the road illegally for years, thought I knew everything. And then as time went on, and unfortunately I had friends that passed away from accidents, I got involved with motorcycle safety. And when I became an instructor for the MSF, I realized there was a lot of things that I didn't know. And I can say, living on both sides of the fence, the uneducated thinking I know, the other side of the fence being somewhat educated, but knowing that I need to know more, it's actually more enjoyable once you have this skill as part of your toolkit to survive. It makes your ride more enjoyable.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
Let me ask you both one thing. If there was one tip that you could offer our listening audience that would make them a better rider, one simple thing, what would it be?
Take the time to learn more about what you're doing. You know, a friend of mine, he went to the Catholic high schools and elementary schools, and they had a saying. There's something that went good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. And I keep that thought when I'm riding. I'll be out one day just wandering around, like Don said, aimlessly, pulling a parking lot, and I'll spend 15 minutes just practicing some of my skills. And for any rider out there, they should just invest in their future and learn what they're doing. Take some type of formal training.
Okay.
Don, I would agree 100% with Steve. Get yourself educated. Be open to learning new things. It could save your life. Practice what you learn on a regular basis. Whether you go to an independent school like Steve's where you get one-on-one, for some people it works better. Or if you go to a state program, they do it with a group of people. Whatever venue works better for you, take it and at least get yourself educated and understand that you're doing something that could possibly save your life or somebody else's. And that's, every rider, every time we go out, we should have the right to come home, whether we're dealing with other traffic or dealing with ourselves. A lot of times there's people that rely on us to come home, and we need to be there. So,
okay, thank you. I want to just throw in, I'm not a professional like you guys. I'm not a motorcycle riding instructor by any means, but I just want to share my own opinion with maybe newer motorcyclists that are starting to ride. The one trick or the one tip that I discovered when I was learning to ride that made the biggest difference was to look where you want to go. Too often I would be riding and I would be looking straight but trying to turn right and my motorcycle wouldn't turn. I didn't understand why. And then once it was brought to my attention that you need to look where you want to go, all of a sudden I wasn't doing anything. The bike was going where I wanted to go. It's just a little thing that I think that maybe the newer riders, if they try to practice that, I think that will help them.
And so many riders say they do and they don't. And any rider, when they're trying to make a turn, especially at low speed, if they feel like their hands are moving or they're trying, but their bars won't turn, it's the same thing if you're walking through a dark room. You try and move your feet, but they don't move. Your brain protects you from getting hurt. If the area you're trying to go to, you visually cannot tell your brain it's safe, your brain's going to fight you from going there. Right. You turn your head, you look, your brain says, okay, it's safe, it lets you go.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Jim. The look where you want to go is a great tip for anybody new or experienced riding. The thing with that is it's something I can't teach you, Steve can't teach you. We could tell you a million times, but unless you do it yourself and recognize the difference, you won't know the benefits of it.
Right, that's why I, as an amateur, are throwing that out there.
Yeah.
What I do, and I would just like to say, the perfect way for you to test yourself is look at a pothole when you're driving on the road and try to miss it. If you're looking at that pothole, you're going in that pothole.
If you're doing it as a test, just make sure there's no cars around.
Yeah. During the training, I'll have them do circles on the bike, and I'll point out specific targets they should look at. When I get them looking at them, they get used to it. Then I'll purposely get into their line of sight. Their eyes will lock into me. They realize they can't turn the bike. They're coming straight at me, and they have no idea what to do. And panic is the result of when there's a problem that your brain cannot solve. There's no solution to it. You panic.
Right. That's
right. I demonstrate how your visual point of contact is where the bike's going to go.
That's where the education and practice, especially evasive maneuvers, you practice quick braking or swerving, you build up your speed a little bit each time and you practice. The situation is you may be able to do a quick stop if you took a class at 10 miles an hour and you did it successfully. But the way your motorcycle feels at 45 or 55 or 65 miles an hour doing a quick stop can scare you and you panic. You may be doing everything correctly, but you're feeling a sensation you've never felt before, and you may do something wrong out of panic, though you've done everything correctly. And that's where the practice comes in. You want to be able to have everything second nature to you. That's your best avoidance skill.
Well, so many times I meet people, and they'll tell me about their brand new bike and big motor, and they put pipes and all those other modifications, and they'll tell me how fast it is. And I'll ask them, you're doing 50 miles an hour. How many feet does it take to stop? No, I have no idea. I said, well, when you practice doing that, roughly how many feet? I never practice. When are you going to practice? When there's an SUV stopped in front of you?
Not a good
and
time.
They start to realize maybe they should start practicing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I said, I like to practice looking away from an obstacle. Because if a car turns in front of me, I'm doing 50 miles an hour, and I'm looking at that car that just cut me off. The only question is, how fast will I be going when I actually have impact?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to looking to the left or the right, whichever my escape route is
going
to be.
And going that.
Because otherwise, that motorcycle's not turning if I'm still looking at that obstacle in front of me. We're going to take a quick break for our commercial sponsors. We'll be right back.
Attention contractors and all business owners. Not happy with your insurance agent or broker? Are you just paying too much? Specialized Insurance opens 7 a.m. A five-minute call can save you up to 50%. Call 631-758-6780. We insure all types of businesses, including property, workers' comp, and liability. Specialized Insurance can even package all your policies together. Any business, any size. We don't charge fees for certificates or New York Comp fund renewals. Celebrating 22 years in business. Are you tired of paying too much for your auto, home, flood, motorcycle? Motorcycle or any of your insurance, just one call does it all. Call Specialized Insurance at 631-758-6780 for all of your insurance needs, including life and health and anything else. More coverage, less money. There's no need to go anywhere else. Let Specialized Insurance help you save with over 50 companies to choose from. We do the shopping for you. We also have homeowners warranties. Never pay for a repair again. Call 631-758-6780 or log on to specializedinsurance.com.
Download our app at smmm.us.
If you ride, you likely know the name Mitchell Proner, the attorney who handles more motorcycle accident cases each year than the average lawyer sees in a lifetime. A longtime biker and advocate for riders' rights, Mitchell has settled or tried motorcycle cases to verdicts in at least 30 New York County Supreme Courts. But what you might not be aware of is his unmatched pro bono record with many motorcycle rights organizations, including Long Island Abate. That's why they recommend Mitchell's latest free rider resource, the Motorcyclist's Handbook. Each page delivers strategies for staying safe and making sure you and your family are prepared in the unfortunate event of a motorcycle accident. So grab your free copy today at bikerhelp.com or call 1-800-PRO-LAW-1. For the last 25 years, motorcycle accident victims and their families have turned to Mitchell for advice. Remember, if you or a loved one is injured in a motorcycle accident, call 1-800-PRO-LAW-1 or visit bikerhelp.com. And don't forget to grab the Motorcyclist's Handbook for free. Again, call 1-800-PRO-LAW or bikerhelp.com.
Welcome back to the Long Island Abate Motorcycle Show. With us today, we have Steve Sorensen from Steve's Motorcycle School and Don Gomo, safety editor of American Iron Magazine. Well, I want to thank both of you. You guys have some great ideas. I'm sure many people out there are going to benefit from this wisdom.
I hope so.
How about you guys just telling everybody about your school or about your organization? Or how can people contact you? Steve, what's your information?
Well, the name of the school is Steve's Motorcycle School, and the website is stevesmotorcycleschool.com. The phone number is 631-738-7433. And we do beginner through advanced riders, and it's all done one-on-one. We concentrate on each rider's ability and their particular needs, and we try and develop the best rider that we possibly can.
And as much as I was against it, I guess I do owe you a thank you for making me get my motorcycle license. When Moselle got her license, the two-year scheme then forced me into getting mine at the same time.
It was a behind-the-scenes deal.
So I do appreciate it now.
No problem.
Don, what's your contact information?
I have a personal website. It's at gomotorcycling.org. It has safety information. I have past articles that I've written for the magazine and several other magazines over the year that are all safety related. It will give you some good information. I have links that will take you to whatever program. There's club links in there. There's links for Long Island Abate. Just information for motorcycling on Long Island and off. Check it out.
Don, what magazine you write for?
American Iron Magazine. For those of you that are Harley riders or American Twin riders, it's a great magazine for you. Great publication, great articles, great technical. If you're not, well, they do have a sister magazine called Motorcycle Magazine that covers all kinds of motorcycles, too, and I do occasionally write for them as well.
And I'd just like to take the opportunity just to remind all our listeners that Abate might have started out predominantly as a Harley riders organization 40 years ago. We have evolved now into an umbrella organization covering all motorcyclists. So,
well, Abate is not a motorcycle club.
Correct.
It's a motorcycle rights organization.
Correct.
Anybody can be a member, even if you don't ride.
Oh, absolutely.
A friend that rides, by joining, your voice helps with the political battle that Abate is fighting all the time. The more members, the stronger the voice.
In fact, if anybody would like to come to the next meeting, it's going to be this Tuesday. We're going to meet at Cathedral Pines County Park in Middle Island. The meeting is going to start at 7:30, and we put up a barbecue 1 hour before the meeting, so if anybody wants to come down at 6:30 for free hamburgers and hot dogs.
Free barbecue, free dinner.
Free barbecue. Okay. Free food before every meeting.
And what date is that meeting at?
May 13th, Tuesday
May 13th?
Night.
Okay.
Yep. It's the second Tuesday of every month, and like I said, there's always free food beforehand. Last meeting, we had 100 members come down, and we're hoping to expand that and even have even more this time.
Yeah. It's good, because the meetings, anybody that's there can voice their opinion, ask questions, and get involved and help out any way they can with the Abate program, process, whatever you want to call it.
And keep in mind, as much as we discuss safety here today, education for both riders and drivers, so we're all safe out there. as much as we may be selfish and look for ourselves, we're looking for everybody to be safe. We're all sharing the road. And that's a big thing that Abate is pushing for and working on, and it's been doing a great job.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our events this week. We have Wednesday night, the 14th, Full Throttle Magazine's Bike Night. Long Island Abate is going to be a sponsor of this event. It's going to be at the main event in Farmingdale, and it's going to start at 6 p.m. So come on down, see your friends at Full Throttle Magazine, as well as Long Island Abate. On the 17th, we have Black and Red Motorcycle Club hosting their Spring Bash, so feel free to contact them for information. On the 18th, we have the Just for Fun Run. Who's hosting that, Steve?
By Steve's Motorcycle School and Thunder Bikes Long Island. You can go to our websites and find all the information on it. There's no fee to join. Just come on out and have some fun.
Great. And just to finish off the month of May, on the 24th, we have I Don't Know Motorcycle Club holding their Lend a Helping Hand Run. All right. Information on these events and others could be found in the 2014 Long Island Abate Handbook. If you don't have your own hard copy yet, you can go on the Long Island Abate website at longislandabate.org. Look under Handbooks. And you could read the entire handbook there, where the centerfold has a list of all motorcycle club events for the summer. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Mitch Proner of the Proner & Proner Law Firm and Rich Rossi of Specialized Insurance. They have both been great supporters of Long Island Abate, and without their support, the show would not be possible. And I'd like to remind our listeners to please look twice, save a life. Motorcycles are everywhere. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back next Sunday at 7 a.m. right here at 94.3 The Shark.
Tattoo. I'll take my old Harley for a three-day cruise. Might even grow me a Fu Manchu. And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining.